On today's episode, I will be chatting with Mal Sanders, one of the toughest and most courageous Hmong autism mom I've come across. When her local resources could not provide an appropriate and safe environment for her son, she, along with her husband, made the decision to relocate and seek services elsewhere, many, many states away. Join me as Mal shares about her journey and how through uprooting, her family found a place to thrive. Hello, and welcome to the Let's Talk About Autism in Hmonglish podcast. Today, I have a very special parent that I will be chatting with. As you all may know, I'm a co-founder of Wathao, and in one of our groups, we really started a parent support group at the very beginning because we knew that that was a core part of what we wanted to do in showing support for our parents. And one of the parents that showed up to our very first meeting, and she's been there for, I think, almost all the meetings that we've ever had, just to kind of share her story, but also be a support to other parents, is my friend Mal Sanders. Welcome to the podcast, Mal.
Thank you, Tia, so much. Thank you so much for having me today on your podcast. And I'm so excited to share my journey with autism with my kiddos today.
Yeah, you know, I always looked forward to getting updates from you. And we were kind of like, yes, Mal, you know, whatever you need, just ask. And you were so great about doing that. And then one day you said, oh, hey, I don't live in can I share a state? Is that okay?
Yeah, of course.
You said, I don't live in Wisconsin anymore. We're like, where'd you go? And you said, you were in Texas. Like, you went all the way south. And so I was like, okay, there's a story to that. And then if you are listening, you probably know that this episode is titled Uprooting for Jacob, you know, and I'm curious to know what led to that that decision, where you guys are now, and, you know, what does the future look like? So let's start off with talking more about Mr. Jacob. Can you tell me more about him in terms of his age, his interests, his age at diagnosis, initial treatments, any behaviors, anything you'd like to share about Mr. Jacob?
Sure, yes. So Jacob is currently 6, and he is actually turning 7 in about 2 weeks here. So he's almost 7. So Jacob, he, you know, now, you know, as a 6-year-old, he loves his iPad. So great with technology. He loves, you know, all sensory play, right? So kinetic sand, Play-Doh, sensory toys, anything of that sort. He also loves car rides. He loves to eat. He loves to play outside, you know, so he's a very, you know, very happy little boy. But for Jacob, we did diagnose him professionally a few days right before his 3rd birthday. So I've always known him to be a little special ever since he was a little baby. Just I've never considered the word autism. But you know, some of his initial treatments. So actually, once I realized that he was different, I did reach out to this program. At that time, we were living in Wisconsin. So the program in Wisconsin, it's called Birth to 3. So I reached out to them. They work with the health department in the county that we were living in. And they actually had somebody come out just to kind of do an initial visit with us, just to kind of maybe confirm what we are also thinking.
Right.
So we did that. You know, the lady did say, hey, yes, your son is showing signs of autism. Why don't we just go ahead? Because he's still under 3 at this point. We can go ahead and start services for him. So it wasn't quite like ABA or anything like that. The lady that actually came to our house was a teacher. She was a teacher, and she came 1 to 2 times a month, and she was, like, so great. She really was. She kind of, like, you know, pointed out everything that Jacob was doing and saying, hey, that's an autistic trait, right? Or, you know, and one of the things I remember is that, like, Jacob loves spinning, right? Spinning things. So fans, and, you know, at that time, the fidget spinners were really popular. And he would spin it, you know, and we would do it for him. We will actually get him spinners, and, you know, like, because we're like, oh my God, he loves it. But she said, hey, you guys don't feed into his stimmy. Like, this is a stimmy thing. So don't encourage it. Kind of have him stop. Because once he gets fixated on this object, he wouldn't stop, you know? Right. So, you know, that was so helpful. So we did that. And then right before his third birthday, we had to graduate from the program.
Right.
So that's when we got the diagnosis, before the third birthday.
Yeah. So remind me again, Mal. So you said you have three kiddos. Where does Jacob, which order does he fall in there?
So Jacob's actually in the middle. So
he's in the middle. Okay.
Yep. I have a daughter who just turned 11. Okay. And then there's Jacob. And then I have a baby who is 4 and about to be 5 as well. So
okay. So
Jacob's right in the middle.
Yeah, he's your only boy. He's in the middle.
My only boy, yep.
Yeah. And when did you, at what age did you start to notice, like, signs
you
of
know,
autism?
I would say it was about 1. He was 1.
Okay.
Up until 1, I would say he met all his milestones.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, he was my early crawler, early walker, early, you know, everything. He was so energetic. You know, I didn't suspect anything too much up until that point.
Mm-hmm.
Looking back now, then, you know, I noticed differences, but he, at 1 year old, he stopped responding to his name.
Mm-hmm.
He regressed. He was saying words before that, like mama, dada, you know, kind of thing. And all of a sudden, one day he just stopped, you know, he stopped saying words. He didn't look at us anymore. He didn't hear us. So then my first thought was, oh my gosh, is my son deaf? You know, because he couldn't hear me. Like, you know, was that something that I didn't know? But then a little part of me said, no, when I turn on his favorite, you know, little videos, he will come running, you know, because he hears that. So we did get a, you know, audio test and he passed that. They said he's not deaf. So I would say about 1 year old.
1 year old.
Yeah.
And then he got diagnosed right before 3.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. And then did he get any other treatments or intervention before he started school?
Yes. So actually, because he was part of the birth to three program, they actually transitioned him into a school in that town that I lived in. It's called the Early Learning Center.
Okay.
So they actually work with kiddos with special needs as soon as they're 3. So 3 is the earliest that they can attend. So he actually graduated birth to 3 and went straight into the Early Learning Center. So he actually started on his 3rd birthday. So we got him diagnosed. And then I want to say the following Monday, he turned 3 and he started school that day.
Yeah.
So he was in that program. He had speech and OT at that school.
Okay. And then he was there until, I guess, kindergarten at 5.
Yes. He actually went there for 3 years because his birthday is in October.
Oh,
so
they
started him
I have
in
two
October.
Fall babies, too.
fall babies. So, you know, he would have had to wait, right, until the following year. But because of his diagnosis, they were willing to take him as long as he's 3. So he actually went to that school for three years, actually.
Wow.
So he went that year when he was 3. He went the year when he was 4. So those 2 years, he was actually in a smaller class set for special needs kids. The only downside to the 2nd year was that was COVID year.
Oh so my gosh. Yes.
He was virtual for that whole year and that did not help, at all. And I feel like that did kind of, you know, play a role in his regression. Learning.
And I'm curious to know, did he receive any ABA at any point?
Yes, he did.
He did.
So
okay.
I believe. I'm trying to remember the timeline, but I believe he did. He got diagnosed that fall, and then it was that like around Christmas time we started ABA.
Right, and I asked because when you said COVID, I just remember during COVID, like 2020, all of our services went virtual, went to telehealth, you know, and like it wasn't the same, but it was something, right? Rather than nothing. So, and I hate to hear that there was regression because of the lack of school and services. So then once school resumed, right, he went to his 3rd year there at the Early Learning Center.
Yeah.
And then, now I'm curious to know, what was the school environment like? Did he have an IEP? Did you feel like you were an invited and active participant in IEP meetings? Because then he eventually went to kindergarten while you guys were still in Wisconsin. Is that correct?
Yeah. So he transitioned into the regular 4K class at this point in his third year.
Uh-huh.
So his class setting was general ed. I would describe it as general ed. He was in there, I want to say his class size was maybe anywhere from 22 to 25 students in his class.
Yeah, that's a lot.
So that was quite a lot. And I want to say for his class, they did have two teachers and two aides.
Okay.
For the 20 plus students. But there was a lot of other special needs students in his class as well. I want to say they said maybe 30% of the class was also special needs.
Okay.
But Jacob got all the attention that year because he was probably the highest need.
Okay.
So one of the aides was basically glued to him his third year at the Early Learning Center. So I would say he did very well. He surprised us. You know how well he adjusted to such a big class. We did not know what an IEP was.
Yeah.
just like anybody else, right? You know, coming into this journey. So we did not take the lead on it. We just let the teachers, you know, hold the meeting together. We let the teachers come up with all the goals. We let the teachers just say, hey, this is what we should do. We trusted them because we said, hey, we don't know anything about this. That was our initial participation in the IEP.
Yeah. And so, yes, this is the time where I need to ask you, Mal, what prompted your family to make the decision to leave your hometown in Wisconsin and go all the way down south to Texas? So he was in 4K, and then 4K. was it for kindergarten when you guys moved?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he was in 4K. At this point, he was still in 4K. So this is springtime of 2022. So he was finishing 4K. We had another IEP meeting at this point, and this is to transition him into kindergarten.
Yes.
He will be leaving the Early Learning Center because they do not provide any more services past 4.
Right.
He will have to go to kindergarten. So we pulled a meeting, I want to say it was in March of 2022. And it was a potential kindergarten teacher. It wasn't his kindergarten teacher, but a potential one.
Okay.
Along with some of the support staff from the elementary school, along with his current teachers at the Early Learning Center. And long story short, this meeting, we did not like anything we heard in this meeting.
Oh, no. So you guys had your initial one at the beginning of the school year. So this was only your second meeting?
Or this is actually our second IEP. So
second IEP.
I'm trying to remember the timeline here. Maybe I might be off a little bit. But we needed another one since he has grown so much, you know? So I was like, I need another updated one.
Yeah.
I wanted to see what, you know, the school setting was going to be like for him in a regular elementary school. So this was our second IEP meeting.
Okay. So the first one went well, the second one not so much.
Yes, went well because we didn't know what we were doing. Plus, he was so young, right?
Right.
So at this point, I was just like, okay, teach him. Like, you know, like whatever you can do, just take him and teach him, right? But at this point, so I'll backtrack just a little bit. Right before the IEP meeting, we actually were doing choice school. Our neighborhood school was not one to specialize in special needs kids and provide the support for them. So we actually choiced him to another school in our small town. So our small town has one school that actually has like the facilities to help special needs kids. So whether it's like a physical need, so they have like a swimming pool there. They have, you know, like physical therapy there for those kiddos in wheelchairs or, you know, anything like that, right? So they are this school is the highest support for special needs kids.
Mm-hmm.
So I learned this because, you know, I work in the hair industry. So I meet a lot of wonderful women A yeah. lot of them were teachers, and they all said, hey, go to this school. This school is the one that supports the most special needs kids. So we put in an application for this school, and we actually got denied. Pretty quickly. Pretty quickly.
Okay.
We got an email stating that they could not support our child at this school. You know, based on his needs, they don't think they have the right, you know, the correct amount of support for us, you know, the right support. So we got denied. And at first I was angry. I was so angry, you know, and that was my first emotion was anger. Like, how, like, why, like, what's wrong with my child that you cannot support him? Right.
Right.
So, I thought about fighting it. Right. Cause at the, you know, at the bottom of the email, it says, if you would like to appeal our decision, here are the steps to take. At this point, I said, do I even want to appeal it? Because you already said you don't have the support for my child. So if I appeal it and he comes there and you don't have the support, you know, I did it all for nothing.
Right.
So that's when I said, you know what? Forget about it. We will just go to our home neighborhood school, right? And let's do the IEP and see what they have to say.
Gotcha.
So that brings us to this IEP meeting that we're having with his potential, you know, school.
Yes.
And the neighborhood. So at this IEP meeting, they basically just told us that we will watch him and we will do the best that we can. So they will not give him an aid. I requested for an aid at this IEP meeting because I'm starting, you know, even with the support that I received through you guys, through Othal and through all the other, you know, moms on this page, I learned that, hey, you can request things, right? At the IEP meeting.
Yes.
So I said, you know what? I want an aid. And they said, well, you have to go in front of the school board and explain to them why you need an aid and prove to them that, you know, Jacob needs an aid. And at this point, I'm like, if you just see my child, or spend 20 minutes with him, you will know he needs an aid, right? So they couldn't do that. So, you know, the ratios, because, you know, at IEP meetings, they give you ratio of like 1 to 6 kids for this activity or, you know, stuff like that. It was just like, oh, during recess, we just let him go. We're just going to let him go. And, you know, at this point, Jacob was eloping still, you know? So I'm like, oh my goodness, like the school doesn't have any fence. It's a playground by the street. Like, no, I can't do that, you know. So everything everything just led to nope, we're not doing that. So at this point we're like, what do we do, you know? But
and
I
you know, when you know that word elope, it means something different, but I want to define that Hmong for our Hmong listeners, right? Elope. Elope. You know, I think that means you're elope. Lalo, that means you can't go, right? You can't go. You the example I always give is, go, you take a ton, you can't move it. You can't get it, you know, and for either year, either parent, don't try to go, you just follow, you just, you know, so and it happens all the time, right? Like multiple times throughout the day. You know, so lalo elope means this. So elope like from school, from home too, or
not from home, but
not from home, just school.
You know, in a playground, he thinks it's so funny to just like kia muna, you know, kia away from
so the school right there, you can't be shiny, be more fancy there, that she moved around for recess. You knew what she knew, be your shiny, that's what they said.
So,
Oh my goodness.
Oh. Right. Oh no. No.
Like your heart drops and you go, and you're telling me this is the best you can offer my child?
I know. It sounds so little, right? It was like something so little, but then like his safety was like my number one concern, you know? And then something else they said at this IP meeting too, that didn't sit well with me was they said they will set up a bell system. So that the whole school knows. Oh my gosh, no. To me, it didn't sound humane, you know, enough. Those were, you know, it was such little things, but they were so big for me, you know, and I just said, no, absolutely not. I'm not putting my son in the school. No matter what, I'm not going to put him in the school.
Right.
I'm going to find an alternative for him.
And you did.
And I did.
All the way in Texas. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So then, okay. So at that time, we were also looking for a home to buy. We needed to buy a bigger home. My kids were getting bigger. You know, we were in a small little Cape Cod. So we were looking for homes, and at that time, you guys all know last year, the market was crazy for house buying.
Yes.
So we couldn't find a home either. So this all happened within the like 2 months, you know, the IEP meeting, us not finding a home. I said, you know what? I think we're ready for, you know, a new mission, right? One day I woke up, we couldn't find a home, you know, it was so frustrating. You guys know how that is. We've been through home buying. You look, you put in offers, you don't win, you know, you're starting to lose hope. So I said, honey, I have a crazy idea, but I need you to sit down for this one because it's a pretty big, crazy idea. And I just said, what do you think about moving to Texas? So a little background on Texas. We've always joked about moving to Texas. So, me and my husband, we've been married for 14 years this year. We've always joked about moving to Texas. Every time we have, you know, we're in Wisconsin. So every time we have cold weather, we're like, oh, Texas, here we come, right? You know, we're so sick of the cold. And my husband is a huge Cowboys fan. So he's always been a Cowboys fan. So we joked about it. So I just said, what do you think about, let's just do it. We've always wanted to do this. I said, I feel like we're at a dead end road, you know, in Wisconsin. And I think it's time. It's time for us to move and maybe start fresh, you know, for all of us. So, you know, my husband said it was crazy, but he said yes. He said, why not? What's the worst, right? If all else fails, we can come right back. It's not a big deal. So that was in March. We put our house on the market, sold right away, and we moved in June. So we, June, we threw all our stuff away, whatever fit in our cars. We started a whole new life in Texas. So here we are. We're in the DFW area. So we're a couple of miles north of Dallas. So we have been here since last June.
So a year now.
It's a little over a year now.
Yeah.
So we picked this area because I found an autism school for Jacob. It was in a city called Plano, and it's called the Foundation School of Autism. It was a charter school that catered to just pre-K through first grade. So three grades.
Okay.
And so at this time, you know, Jacob was going to kindergarten, right? Perfect. So I put in an application, and then there was a waiting list. You know, he was put on the waiting list. You know, you must have an autism diagnosis to go to the school. So he did have that. So I wasn't worried. But we left anyways, knowing that he was on a waiting list only. He
Right,
said, "You know what? Let's
wow.
just go." Because I found, I also found so many ABA centers around here. It was almost overwhelming to choose from, So,
It's like shopping, right? Shopping for the
it
one
was like
that
shopping.
was best fit.
Definitely. And our city in Wisconsin did not have an ABA center there. It literally had one right when we were leaving. They built one right when we were leaving. So I was like, okay, well, it's too late now, right? We're leaving. So we packed up our things, we came here. So, they did not call us that he made it into the school year once the school year started. So I started freaking out because I'm like, oh my gosh, like my oldest is starting school. We haven't heard back from this charter school. What do I do? I don't want to gap, right? Because I feel like, just COVID and gap, and I feel like, all the excuses that we have been given so far regarding autism, I was afraid that he might have another gap and he might regress some more. So I actually quickly signed him up for the school district in where we're living, and he actually got in. So he started at our school district for 3 days.
Oh,
So
3 days.
he went to school for 3 days.
Okay.
They put him in general ed, even though I told them my son cannot be in general ed, but I said, you know what? We're new to the city. Let me show you. Let me show you that he needs to be somewhere else, right? So 3 days later, I got a phone call saying, yeah, we think Jacob needs to go into more of a structured learning classroom, because he's stimming too much. Like he can't sit still. So he's, getting up constantly. So I was like, yep, I told you. But I was like, okay, so what's the plan? So our school district has something called SLC room. So they're structured learning classrooms. And so they said, but we don't have it at the school. So we have to transfer into another school. So 3 days later, Jacob's transferred to another school. He did not transition well. He hated the second school. He loved the first one. The second one, he was like, nope. He cried the whole first day. He did not want to go back the next day. So then we actually just called him in. And then the following day, we're like, okay, what do we do? Because my child, obviously, this is too much changes for him in a short period of time. Luckily, that day, Foundation School of Autism called us and
Oh my
said,
goodness,
we have a
Mel.
teacher. Come. So I was like, oh my God, this is so meant to be, right? Like, because I was at this point, I was just praying, like, what do we do? Like, now what? Right? We moved all across the country. We didn't get in. Like, what do we do? Right? So they called us. We started school almost immediately, and Jacob loved that school. It was a small little school setting. His class was actually kindergarten and first grade, and there was only five of them in the
Wow,
classroom.
in total,
Yes,
five?
five of them in that classroom. And so it was one teacher and like I want to say two or three aides in that classroom. So he had a lot of one-on-one time
I know,
in
it's gonna
that
say almost
school.
a lot of 101, right?
Yes, almost a lot of one-on-one. He did very well. He was so safe. The whole school was locked. They cannot elope if even if they want to, right? So they lock the front door. The kids can't leave. The playground is all fenced in. So unlike the other school where you can't tell niños. So we drop him off right at the front. We pick him up right at the door. The teachers bring them out. So it was great. He loved it. We had a really good first year. The only downside is that our rental home is in a different city. So we had to drive him. And depending on traffic, the
The
commute was so long. Like I was
commute.
spending about 2 hours a day with commuting, okay? So I feel like I couldn't get anything else done but pick up Jacob and drop him off, right? So we actually made a really hard decision to not let him finish the last year there. And we actually pulled him out. And he's actually in our school district again. In the city that we're living at currently. So he is in first grade now. He is taking the bus to his school because it's a little further out away from our house. So the bus comes to pick him up, drop him off. He is in a structured learning classroom of 8 kids. And they have two teachers, they have aides, they have, they call them paraprofessionals here. So he is doing really good at the school. So we are this very
is not, happy. Yeah, this is not the second school that he hated. This is a different school that's in your school district.
Different school as well. Okay. Yep, in our school district. So what happens in our school district is if you are special needs and you need the SLC rooms, the school district decides where you go upon availability.
Okay.
So they only let a certain number of kids in this classroom.
Right.
So our whole, like our neighborhood school here, all the rooms are full. So he actually goes to a different school. So this is a whole nother, you know, different school. He really liked the school. We went to go see it together. You know, we did a race, you know, we went to go see it together. We showed him his classroom. And, you know, now he's a little bigger, so he understands, you know, a little bit better. Yeah. So he's at a different school.
Well, good. And this is so first grade.
This is first grade,
and he's doing well, and the IEP process is going a lot smoother. You're understanding it, so you know what your parental rights are, and for your child, you're better able to advocate, and you're feeling like you're, the team is receptive to your needs and Jacob's needs.
Yes. So what happened last year at his the Foundation School of Autism is they did not do a new IEP for him. Because we just did the IEP last year, that they said, oh, you know what? It qualifies, you know, in our state of Texas. So we're just going to use this IEP. And they never reevaluated him. They never did a redid a IEP. So I felt like he met those goals early on, and it didn't challenge him enough, you know, at all. So actually this year they're redoing, I requested for a new evaluation. I learned that I can do that.
I know. So, look at you. That's
so awesome, right? So I requested for a new evaluation. I said, he is so much bigger now, right? You know, he's grown so much from 3 to 4 to 5 to 6.
Yeah.
That, let's challenge Jacob just a little bit more. So they're actually in the process of doing the evaluation. It's a 45-day evaluation. And we actually have our next IEP meeting a month from today. So we will be discussing new goals. You know, we're working, we're actually working with a private speech therapist who comes to our house and helps us with Jacob. We are finally getting an AAC device for him.
Awesome.
Our speech therapist is actually helping us test different ones. We're trying to get one through insurance. You know, to ban a high luna, even though he is starting to talk, which is so amazing, you know, so.
To hear his voice.
To hear his voice, you know, it just started this year, really. So we're very happy, even though he is starting to say a few words to us, we still want more communication. So we're working with that. So everything is going so well.
I never knew that we were getting this far.
So.
So I know there's so much change that first year, y'all. You guys moved, and then he went to one school, second school, and then landed at a third school. How did he adjust to all of that? All those changes, and how did the family adjust to all that?
So I was, you know, Jacob.
It's yes, you guys uprooted for Jacob, but also it's a family journey as well, right? So like, how did everybody adjust?
So we did really well. I mean, it was fun because I own a business, right? So I do hair. I had my own hair salon in Wisconsin. I had to leave my business behind.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't bring all my customers with me.
Oh, right.
So that was a big decision for myself. You know, my husband was a, you know, stay-at-home dad for the last couple of years during COVID. So he had to find work. I had to start my business over. That was a lot of changes. And, you know, looking back, we're a bit crazy to, you know, to all of this. But, you know, we were, you know, I'm more of a type A personality. So, like, I was so motivated. I just, you know, I knew I have to do this, right? We adjusted really well. We didn't know too much about this area. Luckily, our rental home is in this wonderful city called Frisco. It is where, you know, the star is, you know, for the Cowboys. It is, you know, home to the PGA. It is, you know, it's just an amazing city with so much opportunities. When you think of Texas, most people think of like cowboys, cowboy boots, and cowboy hats, and, you know, like rodeos, right? This area is nothing like that. So it is very modern. It is a brand new city. So they're rebuilding this farm city into this big old, you know, city. So we have a lot of Asian population here.
Yeah. Isn't that like a Korea town? Yeah, a Korean shopping area, right?
Yes, we do.
I don't know.
Yes, we have a lot of stuff. So we have the Korean town. We have, you know, Vietnamese town. You know, community.
Right. I think it's scattered for now.
It is very scattered, but it's okay. I think most of us are here, you know, because of our jobs, because of our family, you know. So, but, you know, there's so much Asian culture and Asian stuff here that I adjusted really well. I was just like, this is my dream come true. Oh, like, you know, I absolutely love it here. I would say my husband took a few more months longer to adjust. But the kids love it. There's so much to do for the kids here. It's one of the number one places to raise a family, actually.
Yeah.
We actually have a lot of activities for children here in this area for those who may be interested. You know, if you're really looking for you know, a place to raise your family, this is it, you know? So we adjusted really well. Jacob adjusted so well. You know, besides the switching schools so fast last year. That was only his only bad moment. You know, everything else, we learned that if we just talk to him, we just, you know, show him, we tell him he's okay. He's been transitioning so well. The only thing, it's really hot. It's really hot here. So Jacob doesn't last too long outside. He starts turning red and, you know, he's like, Mom, get me inside, you know? So that's the only thing that we're adjusted to is the weather, but it's better than the cold. So.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are from tundra country, so it's a little warmer in Texas.
A little bit, but you know what? We love it. Yeah. We love the sunshine. Yeah. We love this area.
Oh, good.
So much. Yeah.
Well, Mel, I'm just so proud of you for making this brave decision to move when, you know, like that current setting was no longer serving you and your child, right? Like as a parent, it's hard because, I mean, gosh, you know, growing up, let's be honest, being a vecina, you know, what would they say? Right? But then for you to be like, no, that no longer serves me and my child. We're going to move. And you made this big move. I mean, of course, there were other factors, right? But you still, I still feel like you definitely, at the root of it, you uprooted for Jacob. Would you recommend this to others who one day find themselves in your shoes? Like, what would you say?
Absolutely. Do it. You know, move. Because you don't know. You really don't know what's out there. You know, you can do all the research. I did so much research, right? And I still didn't know what it all has to offer until I was here. And I'm living the moment. I'm receiving the services. I'm attending all these meetings to learn about all of the support that I have around me. So I would say absolutely do it. It's scary. You know, you're leaving family, friends behind. You're in a new environment. But I think if you have the right amount of support from other people, from professionals, from, you know, your spouse, from, you know, like just making sure that your family is taken care of, you know, I would say absolutely do it because it is so worth it. You know, for us, we're just so lucky because our school district is actually a really, really good school district here. I wanted to like just explain a few of the services that they provide here.
Yes, please do.
So through his school district, everything is free of charge, right? So they actually have, you know, similar services to ABA, but they call it at-home training. They don't use the word ABA. So that is free for us, you know, through the school district. So we actually have our meeting with our at-home trainer today.
Nice.
He will be coming to the house to help us with Jacob and, you know, just to kind of, you know, help us work through some of those, you know, challenges that we have. Another one is they actually have an AAC device team at his school that will be training us and him how to use the AAC device, right? They have that. And then they even have programs for siblings. Siblings
Oh, nice.
Of special needs, you know? So,
Yeah.
like, me and my daughter went to an outing the other day. We met other siblings that, you know, are supporting autism because, you know, we don't give them enough credit, right? You know, siblings with
Exactly.
special needs, they are so special. And so, you know, we have all of these programs here that I didn't even know about. I did not read this in the research that I did. All I saw was the names of centers, right? The names of the schools, you know, ABA, speech, you know, OT, all that stuff. I read about that, but you don't know until you actually do it. So I would say, you know, reach out, join pages, you know, wherever you're going to, you know, reach out to those people, reach out to the moms in those area and, you know, really get to know the area because there's just so much more, you know, out there that we don't know about.
And that's all through your public school district. That's amazing.
It's all through the public school district.
Wow.
So it is one of the best school districts, you know, that I have ever, you know, heard of. I went from one end, right, to the other end here. So it's quite exciting.
And, you know, you bring up a really good point, too, about the siblings, right? Like, y'all... The families that have more than one child and there are siblings, sometimes those siblings get neglected, right? They don't get as much attention because the one with autism, you know, they get a lot more attention because they have that higher need. And so the siblings do get a little, you know, less attention. So that's great that your school district recognized that. I was like, let's put this thing together to help those siblings, one, feel like they are getting that quality time with their parents, but also networking with other siblings too, you know, and sharing, like, this is what we do for our brother, our sister, and, you know, just that support is so important. So
it is so important. It's so good. And, you know, my daughter was so excited to be like acknowledged, right? Because she's so passionate too about autism and helping those with autism that she was like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. So, you know, just to put her in the spotlight a little bit in terms of helping her brother, she's just she was so excited, you know, to be a part of that. So.
Yeah, it is
wonderful.
Wow, Mom, I'm so excited to hear that. It really sounds like you hit the jackpot. Really,
yes,
you know, like
I know.
It turned a really seemingly unfortunate situation to really, you know, a life changing, but also like, you know, maybe, you know, I don't know what your spiritual views are, but it's almost like all his prayers. God was like, well, here it is. Here's my answer. You know,
God had his reasons, right? You know, like,
I know
it was, it really was meant to be. Like, you know, we didn't even know about the city, you know, the city that we're in right now. We were actually looking at the city that, you know, the Foundation School of Autism was in.
Right.
But, you know, there was only one rental home available through this company that we're going to. So, you know, maybe God already knew that, hey, nope, you need to go to this district because this is the district that you need to be in. For the support that you need, you know, for your family. So, you know, in hindsight, like 1 year seems like such a long time to kind of have everything in place. But at the same time, it was only 1 year, right? You know, it was 1 year of struggle, 1 year of new stuff, 1 year of adjusting, emotional, you know, all that stuff. But it's so worth it. It was so worth it for the big move.
And now he gets to be in this district until he graduates, right?
Yes,
I mean, if you guys choose to stay.
Yep. So we are going to stay because we absolutely love all of the support that we have. They even have, they actually have free support for IEP, Advocate, but IEP and to help us actually with IEP. So we're actually working with a guy, a group, a partner group that will be helping us. We are really, I think now we finally have a really good understanding of IEP and how it works. And so I'm going to really push hard for Jacob this year.
Yes, I'm so proud of you. And
Thank you.
Just seeing from the first meeting, you were like, what? I can ask for a meeting? And now you're like, I want an evaluation. you know, I'm going to bring an advocate. That's great because, you know, these are things that, you know, you're Jibana, you can do that. You can ask for that. You don't know your rights. You just assume that, oh, teacher set up the meeting, I go. I listen and they say and I do, right? But no, it's not like that. So
no.
Yes, I'm going to have you back.
I think
to talk you. About IEP. You know,
yes, definitely. Definitely. We'll do that. You know, let me have my IEP first and then I'll come back and update you guys.
You're going to rock it. I know.
Really, it's thanks to you, you know, and Ma too, right? You know, that you guys really, you know, helped us, you know, in the support group. I feel like you guys really helped us see that we have these choices, that we, you know, it's past ABA, right? You know, like more than ABA, you guys support us in other emotional support as well. So thank you. Thank you so much.
And you're welcome.
So proud to be a part of you guys and, you know, happy to share my stories just so that other people. You know, feel motivated as well.
I know. Well, thank you, Ma. I appreciate your time and just your vulnerability and just sharing, like, hey, we were like at ground zero at figuring out what to do. And here we are, you know, like Jacob's living his best school life and you guys are living your best life. And that's amazing. So
it is amazing. So do it. Whoever is out there that say, hey, I'm not getting the support I need, the services. Do it, you know, and I'm here to do it. Reach out to me and I'm happy to share more of my stories.
Thank you.
Thank you.